Last Sunday was Easter. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And that happened all over the world. But you know something, question I have for you to you today is, what are you doing with that? We celebrated resurrection last Sunday. What are you doing with the resurrection this Sunday? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If we're not careful, we'll allow the resurrection power of God to be a celebration event once or a few times a year. Oh, this is the time we go to church to celebrate the resurrection power of God. But if all we do is celebrate it and never experience it or understand it, then we miss out on all that God has for you and I. Can I get an amen? And so we have to begin to dig in this new series we're starting today, talking about that resurrection power, but how the power of God is so important in every area of your life. I'll be honest with you. In some circles, the drive is so strong for getting people in the building that they've lowered the standard, and we have a lot of people who go to church but have no conversion experience. They might be a member of a church, but they're not saved. Because that is all part of God's power, bringing you from the darkness of the enemy into the light of God, from the old life to the new life. It's not a sign up, take a class, be a better person, and that's what a lot of people think Christianity is about. Oh, I go to church, I'm a Christian. No, you can go to church and still not be saved. Can I get an amen? Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're saved. Because salvation is an experience that God gives you when you pray, when you open up your heart, but it's by the power of God. It is so important that we begin to dig into this, because as you see, the same power that saves you is the same power that heals you, same power that keeps you, same power that delivers you, same power that promotes you, same power that guides you. And if we get in under the radar, or not through the door, but around and over the fence, we're not really part of what Jesus called his sheep. Amen. Amen. And so that's why a lot of Christians struggle. They have no power. They don't expect any power. They live in confusion and despair. But if you're a child of God, I want you to know that you have access to some amazing power. We've talked about that in the past few weeks, the exceeding greatness of his power available to you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, Ephesians says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Do we just celebrate it once a year and then go do family events and we forget about it and go back into our old routine? Go back into our old lifestyle? Go back to our old problems? Or do we approach and say, wait a minute, that same power is available to me. I need to do something with it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and while you're turning there, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we claim, we speak over the lives of your people today, and we claim your very best for their life, wherever they're at in their journey. Lord, I pray that the anointing of God, the presence of God, the truth of God that brings freedom and liberty would begin to saturate our hearts, our minds, our situation. Lord, giving us wisdom, direction, empowering us to do what you've called us to do. We come against every strategy, tactic of the devil. No weapon formed against them will prosper. And every word spoken in judgment against them, we condemn in the name of Jesus. We stand void on the plans of the devil for their life. We stand void on the plans of sickness against their body. I stand void on the plans of destruction against their life. I stand void on the plans of debt and bankruptcy over their finances. I stand void on the spirit of confusion and on the torment of the enemy. Father God, we stand void on the plans of fear against their mind and their heart. And Lord, we speak the truth in the love of God, for it's your perfect love that casts out fear. Father, we believe today. We choose to believe you today. We choose to believe you today. We choose to believe your word today, Father God, that you are more than enough, that with you there's ample supply, that you are El Shaddai, you are Jehovah Jireh, you are the God of more than enough. And so we start this service today and we celebrate your goodness. We celebrate your abundance, for there is no lack in you, no lack in wisdom, no lack in power, no lack in blessing, no lack in favor. When you, it's ample supply, and we draw from that, Father God, today, by your word and by grace and faith. And we thank you, Father God, that as the truth goes forth, let light shine. Let light shine. Let light shine. Restore those marriages that are broken. Heal those bodies that were sick. Father God, give wisdom and insight to those decisions that are to be made. Let light shine. Build up hope within those who think and thought it was hopeless. Let light shine today, Father God. For we trust not in our own abilities, but we trust and put our trust in you. And everybody said,
amen.
Everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you can look. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, I'm not ashamed. See, if you're ashamed of something, you don't want to bring it out in the front. You want to hide it in the back. If you're ashamed of someone, something, a lot of theologians believe that the reason when Samuel came to anoint the king under the direction of God, and he goes to Jesse's house, and he said, do you have any sons? And he said, yeah. He said, bring them to me. The reason he left David in the back is that he was ashamed of David. Because some theologians believe that David was a product of an affair that Jesse had.
Right.
Now, where they get that, David said, I was conceived in iniquity.
Yeah.
And so when you're ashamed of something, you hide it.
Yeah.
Where's your sons? Here they are. It's got to be this one. God said, no, it's not that one. Do you have any more? Well, yeah.
What?
Go get them. And they waited. Say they waited. I said they waited. I decree over your life. I don't care if people have been hiding you and keeping you out. In the name of Jesus, by the anointing of God, that everything that they try to do must come to a halt, and they will stand waiting for your moment of arrival in the name of Jesus. I hear that in the Spirit of God. They will stand waiting for your moment of arrival in the name of Jesus. No matter what they've done to push you back, hold you out, and keep you out, starting today by the power of God, it is ineffective, and all plans are off until you show up in Jesus' name. I didn't say that in the first service, but I feel that someone needs that in this one. Did you hear me? Say, they're going to wait for me. Here I come. I'm telling you, 2017, I'm excited for you. Because 2017, for you individually, us corporately, it is a breakout year. It is a break. No more. Tomorrow is like yesterday's. You are in a breakout season in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Do you believe that? Now, if you don't believe it, that's fine. We still love you. But if the word of God's not mixed with faith, it does not produce anything. Did you hear me? And for you to mix it with faith, you've got to begin to respond in some way. And then obey as God leads you to obey. You can't sit there quietly and say, well, I don't know if it's going to happen. It's not going to happen for you. Just save yourself the time. You don't believe. But if you believe, Matthew 13, that word produces fruit. 30, 60, 100 fold. Come on, somebody. Say,
yeah.
So I believe.
I believe.
So it's okay to make some noise in church. Maybe you came from a church that you got to be quiet. God love you. We love you. But it's okay to make some noise. You don't have to say amen. You can say, that's for me. You can say, ah, whatever you want to say. Just say whatever. Just don't be so quiet. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
For I am not ashamed. Say, I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed.
Notice, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. It is the power. It is the power of God. Not of man, of God. Not of man, of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. So the gospel, the good news of the anointed one and his anointing, because the word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing, the Messiah. We know the Messiah is Jesus. That's why we say Jesus Christ, but Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the position of authority. Let me throw a little curve. I didn't mention this in the first service. I challenge you. I believe they do it for true, sincere intentions, but if they're not careful, it brings some people one step closer to confusion. And you'll hear people say, oh, we need to be disciples and followers of Christ.
Right.
Now I got your attention. You got to understand something. That sounds good. But if we don't point people to Jesus, the Christ, they will always be looking for a Christ. That's what, Matthew 24. Don't take my word for it. Challenge it. Matthew 24, Jesus said, in the last days, many will say, there's Christ and here's Christ. And what was he showing? He said, don't go looking. What was he saying? That there would be people that would be imitating Christ. If we don't connect people to Jesus, you know what happens? They'll be with this great endeavor, I'm going to be a follower, a seeker, a pursuer of Christ. And without any heart revelation of salvation, the first person that comes by and says, oh, here's Christ, will be deceived. Because they're teaching them to follow Christ, but they don't tell them who Christ is. And even it's full of prophecy in the Bible, even in Revelation, even in Daniel, talks about that the last day there will be someone, a person who will be the Antichrist. Yeah. Now that word anti, we always, growing up in the church world, I always thought that meant against. Right. But if you look at the anti in the original text, it also can mean instead of. Right. Not somebody who's coming and saying, I hate Jesus, but someone who shows up and says, I am Jesus. And the Bible says in the last days, many will be deceived by the lying wonders. Right. So we got to be careful. Just because something looks good on the surface doesn't mean it is good behind the scene. Yeah. Just because it looks great on the outside doesn't mean it's great behind the scene, right, on the inside. Come on, you know that's true. You dated some people like that. Don't look. No. And if you're with them right now, just don't look at them. Just say amen. Just mumble it under your breath. Amen. That's right. We'll just leave that alone. But anti doesn't always mean against. It can mean instead of, which means there'll be people, because the devil operates in deception, and the Bible says that he could even appear as an angel of light. Yeah. Yeah. So we got to teach people that the Christ is Jesus. Right. See, some pastors, I love them, some pastors try to be Jesus. Yeah. I don't want to be your Jesus. I'm not your Jesus. Your reward's not in my hands. It's in the hands of Jesus. Revelation, Jesus said, I come quickly and my reward is in my hands. I'm not your Jesus. Amen. I'm not your Jesus. Don't worship me. Don't look. I'm not your Jesus. I'd rather be your John the Baptist that keeps pointing you to Jesus. There's a time you might be following what I'm saying, but there's a point where you start growing and hearing for yourself and say, wait a minute, that's Jesus right there. If we don't understand and let people know that the power of God brings them into a connection, the gospel of Christ is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that without Jesus, you are not saved. Without Jesus, you are not saved. Without Jesus, I don't care what you've done. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel means the good news of Christ, of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We have, history has shown us that the church, little by little, has degraded the power of God out of the house of God. Part of that is because they've taken prayer out of the house of God. Yeah. You thought it was concerning when they took prayer out of school. What do you think when they take prayer out of the house of God? Yeah. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. When we take the power out of the house of God, then all we become is a gathering assembly, a country club of people who sign up to be members so that we can do something good for other people and receive something good for ourselves. Do you know, as crazy as you think that I'm talking, let me just throw this at you. There is an atheist religion church out there. Yeah. There is an atheist church out there. They come together like you look and think, oh, it looks like a church. They sing songs, though it's not worship songs. It's popular songs that's in society. Somebody comes up and gives them a few-minute talk to encourage them and help them with the problems of life. They do community stuff. They reach out to their community and help people. But you know what's missing? There's no Jesus. You got to be careful what you connect to. Amen. We're the branches connected to him, the vine. But if you're not connected to him, you might be connected to something you don't really realize what you're drawing from. Because whatever you connect to, you're going to draw from. Amen. Did you hear me? Whatever you connect to, you're going to draw from. And so there's literally churches out there that do everything that Christian churches do, but without Christ, without Jesus, without power. And on the surface, they look good. Maybe you've been to something like that. But we have to get the power of God back into the house of God, because we need the power of God back into the people of God, because you cannot live the life that God's called you to live without the power of God. Now, let me break it down a little bit for those of you, so we're all on the same page. By that, I don't mean that you have to be weird. Amen. Amen. See, didn't get any amens on that. Some of you are like, well, Because some in the church world, historically we've seen, that stood out, that we thought were powerful, some of them were weird. God will use weird people too. But you don't have to be weird to be spiritual. You don't have to squint your eyes, talk different, talk slower, and use King's English to be spiritual. Bless God. I believe the Lord is telling me,
hold it.
And the Lord says, supersize that Coke. You don't have to be weird. You can be yourself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You can be real, you can be genuine, and still powerful. Yeah. What has freaked some people out is we've seen people that were weird, and we thought that we had to be like those weird people. Otherwise, if we don't, we're ashamed. And if we're ashamed, then there's scripture says that if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Oh, that means that it's not a good place. You don't want Jesus saying, I don't know him.
Right.
I'm ashamed. No, I'm embarrassed. I'm hiding them out. You don't want that to happen. And yet grown up dealt with that tension. Oh, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. So I got to move out and do stuff. And sometimes we were told wrong. And we thought we had to be something we're not.
Yeah.
Talk a way that we don't typically talk. Listen, the anointing of God, the presence of God, the power of God, it's not going to make you talk like somebody that you've been mentored by.
Amen.
One of my mentors from reading his materials and following him is Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's now in heaven with the Lord. But I've seen good men and women, ministers, who would follow him and they imitate him physically.
Yeah.
You're 25 years old and shuffling your feet. Well, the man was 90. He can shuffle his feet when he's 90. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
So you don't have to imitate that side of a person. The treasure is on the inside. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in human people, that the glory may be of God, not of man. You don't have to imitate. I mean, if you're a lady and you've been mentored by a strong male figure, you don't have to become a strong male figure to be anointed. I mean, when you get several voices coming out of your mouth, there's either two things. One, you are misinformed or you need to be delivered. Right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying is true, and that's why you're laughing. Because we come out of some circles that people just misunderstood, and if they're going to be spiritual, they did not act like themselves. They acted weird, and they went, stop people in a restaurant. Everybody get quiet. I'm going to bless my food. Just bless your food and sit down and start eating. I was with somebody once, go ahead, and I'll let you bless the food. Pray for. And they kept praying, and they kept praying. I started eating. But I was respectful. When they got done praying, I'd quickly put my fork down and act like I wasn't eating. We make some things spiritual that are not spiritual at all. And as a result, people go back into their little tunnel, their little hole, because they're afraid that they don't want to deal with it. I remember growing up and as a teenager and having people come up and as evangelists say, "Oh, well, if you love God and you're not ashamed, then you're going to stop every person that you see and witness to them. If you were to die today," some of you remember that.
Yeah.
Confrontational evangelism, we call it now. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you try that today, the question is, do you know where you're going to be spending this night in jail, right? You walk up to a stranger saying, if you're going to die today, what's going to happen? They're going to call 911 and you're gone. But I remember trying to get, as a teenager, and that wasn't my style, that wasn't my personality, to be out in the streets handing out tracts to people that I don't know that are coming out of bars and stopping them and praying. It might work for some. It didn't work. It wasn't my thing. And I used to be so frustrated on the inside because I struggled with this tension. Jesus, I love you, but that's just not me. And I would be under guilt and pressure for a short period of time, and eventually I would forget and go on with my routine. Until they have that evangelist come back. And I go through the whole cycle again. Because we were taught to be something we're not. Instead of being effective the way God made us. Your temperament, your style is different than the person sitting next to you, most likely. And we got to be wise like David was, who, when he was in the tent of the king, Saul. And Saul put his armor on him. David could have said, wow, this is better armor than what I had. And it was. This is shinier than what I have, and it was. This sword is a lot better than what I have, and it was. But David had wisdom enough to say, you know what? I can't use these because this is not proven. Start with what God gives you. Start with what God gives you. Being ashamed doesn't mean you, that being not ashamed doesn't mean you have to witness to every person you see. I learned that from my dad. We're co-laborers with Christ, which means he knows who he wants you to reach. You're called and designed by God to reach somebody, but not called to reach everybody. And our goal is, and we're very clear, even as a church, we can't reach everybody. There's too many people in the world. There's not a building big enough. Can you imagine? I'm going to reach the nation. I'm going to reach the world. But you don't have a building big enough to reach the world. Amen. You don't have a structure big enough. But we're not called to reach everybody, but we are called to reach somebody. And our goal should be to give all our energy and best effort to reach the somebodies that God's called us to. Because if you're struggling, if you're frustrated with evangelism, you know, part of it might be, you're like, Pastor, I evangelize all the time, but I see no difference. Maybe the problem is you're picking the ones you should evangelize. Have you ever done that? Well, I'm going to get my cousin saved. I'm going to get my brother saved. I'm going to get... And maybe you're not the one to reach them. Every person's got a combination. Maybe you don't have the right combination. But God knows. Paul says, one man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase. Being not ashamed of the gospel doesn't mean that you have to witness to every person. No, I encourage you. You witness to the ones that God shows you to witness. You live your life in a way that you're open, that you're available. Say, I'm available. One of the things I love about these wristbands that we started years ago, tagged by God. And I mean, the quick story on that is we had created this as part of one message of one series. Just a handout, something different. We did a message called Tagged by God, and we handed these out to remind people of the thought. And after we, the way the story goes, after we did that Sunday, my wife and I, we went to a restaurant to eat. And as we're sitting there, the waitress comes up and says, hey, how y'all doing? She goes, I'm sorry I missed church. You know, I had to work today. And my wife says, oh, you missed a good one. We handed these out. She said, handed what out? And then she took it off. She said, I'll go ahead and I'm going to tag you. There you go. You have one. And she said, oh, thank you. And the lady put it on. And something stirred on the inside. And I thought, there's something to this. And then she left, came back a few minutes later and said, I just tagged my friend in the kitchen. Do you have another one? And now something really came alive. And I thought, there's something to this. Did you hear me? And since then, we've encouraged you to wear these, be encouraged by them. There's a great scripture on the inside. It says, tagged by God, and hopechurch.org on the other side, to wear them, but also to use it better than even a track. Use it and start every week with a prayer. Lord, I'm available this week if you want to use me. Don't make it happen. Don't figure it out. Just put it on the back burner. And let God create. It's amazing when you come with the sincerity of, Lord, I'm available, but it's up to you. And put it on the back burner. Have you found yourself, I know I have, in conversations and the Lord reminds you to tag somebody? Anybody else? Me? Do you know, we've been doing this consistently and we're coming up to, guess how many tags? Almost 100,000 wristbands have been given out tagged. Does that mean we've seen 100,000 people saved? No, we can't. We're not winning everybody. We're part of the, I'm part of the team. Say, I'm part of the team. Paul says, one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. It's good for our spiritual growth to be available for God to use us to reach out. And it's good to be part of the kingdom mind and just not our little world, but the big world of what God's doing. God, you can use me in whatever part of that process. It might be holding someone's hand and leading them in sinner's prayer or bringing them to church or simply just tagging them and getting the start of the process, the seed planted. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we had some work needed to be done at the house, and we had called this company that we had bought from this one business, a dishwasher, and so we were like, it's broken. They gave us the name of the sub to come work on it. He had to come out a few times, and at first glance, this guy did not look like anybody you would want to witness to. Appearance, the words coming out of his mouth. Come on, somebody. But, you know, we're just polite. Talking to them. You know, it's nice to be nice to people. It's just nice to be nice. That's like a deep thought, but it's really something that's very simple we should all hang on to. Even if we don't know them, even if we don't think there's anything we're going to get from them, just be nice to people. Love people. Amen?
Amen.
And so just start talking to them. And about the second or third time of him having to come back, we developed that connection, just talking to him and knowing him by first name. And in the third time, the Lord placed on my heart to tag him. And my first response was, Come on, I'm just being real with you, right? No. Not this guy. There's no way. No way. And he started to leave. And as he's leaving, the Holy Spirit said, you know how the Holy Spirit work on you? Come on. I mean, he knows how to work on you and not let you up until you say, okay, I'll give. If you're going to be real, now you can tell him no and he'll stop. But praise God, the Holy Spirit, I want him to keep working on me because we all need improvement, do we not? We're all growing. And he kept bringing it back. And I thought, okay. So I went outside. I followed the guy out and I just kept the conversation going and, and talked to him about church. He said, well, what do you do? And I told him I was a pastor. Usually I don't tell people I'm a pastor because there's a lot of weird pastors out there in the world, and I don't want anybody to judge me based on somebody else's stupidity. Can I get an amen? And so... But so I'm just talking to him, and I take it off. I said, listen, let me tag you. I said, we do this at our church. I took it off the wristband. I tagged him. And he goes, oh, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, you know, I went to seminary for 1 year.
Wow.
And they kicked me out.
Wow. Right.
So now I know why he's so angry. You know what I mean? If you go into seminary, that means you feel a call to do something good to help people, and they reject you and kick you out. I mean, for some people, that's like God saying, I don't like you no more. I'm serious. That's a potentially a deep hurt. And so we got talking, and he's like, oh, thank you. And he got in his car, in his van, started to pull away, stopped, jumped out, and he said, you know what? This is peeping cool. You like that sound effect? He goes, I'm going to wear this. I'm like, okay, that's great. Off he drove. Do you know, a week later, he calls me one night, 9:30 at night. Hope it's not too late to call. No, what's going on? He said, I was just going through and wanted to see, how's everything working that I fixed? Is it all okay? Now, I don't know about you. I've dealt with a lot of subs. I've never had anybody ever call me a week later to see if it's okay. So that's first curiosity. Okay, something's up. And we got talking for a few minutes, and I invited him to church again and told him about the stream. He goes, yeah, I'll have to come check it out. And we got done. He said, God bless. He was closing the conversation with God bless. And I said, you know what? I may or may not be the opportunity in the future to lead him to the Lord, but I'm a part of his journey. One man plants. You don't have to be weird. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Be real. Because people that don't know the Lord doesn't mean they're dumb. Some very, very smart. And you don't have to be too smart to identify a fake and a phony. That's what happens in the church world. We try to tie everything into on Sunday or a certain way of talking, and people can read right through that. You're not being real. Just be you. You don't have to have all the answers to all the questions. When you approach it from the power of God perspective, you don't have to have all the answers to all the questions. Well, let me ask you about this. What about, I don't know. All I know, God, I mean, just like the guy who was blind and Jesus healed them, and they thought they would shut him down by asking him a deep theological question. Well, who does he think he is? He can't be the Christ. Nothing good's coming out of Nazareth. Hey, wait a minute. I don't know any of that. All I know is once I was blind, now I see. I can't answer all your questions. You're probably a lot better at debating, and you got stuff that I don't know. But one thing I do know, once I was blind, but now I see. I've experienced the power of God in a way that solidifies my faith and my conviction. If your conviction and faith is based on the ideas or understanding of information, you're one argument away of letting it go. But when you experience the power of God in a way that creates that conviction, turn to your Bibles and we'll close with this one verse. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, Paul's talking about, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, notice why Paul is saying this. Verse 5, if we have it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith is substance, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing the word, Romans 10. But faith, Hebrews 6 tells us, is what allows you to receive. That your faith not be in arguments. Your faith not just be in ideas. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get information. We should learn. Knowledge is important. Wisdom is important. We should develop and grow and know the word of God. That's important. But we can't take out the power. Because if your faith, your convictions is in an idea, it won't last a storm. But if your faith is in the power of God, against all odds, you can be Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that the God, Romans 4, that made the promise, was well able. Say, God is able. Romans 4, God that made the promise was well able to perform it, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Salvation is one of the most amazing. We've seen people get healed. We've seen people delivered. We've seen all this, but I'm telling you, the conversion experience is one of the greatest experiences of God's power. Bringing people out of darkness into light. Forgiving them. Past dealt with. Delivered. Victory. Salvation encompasses more than just you going to heaven. We'll get into that in the next few weeks. But what we have to understand is if the devil will try to get you in the realm of logic and arguments, if God's going to do it, don't you think he would have already done it? Here's God's motivation. That was against Eve, was it not? He began to argue with her. When we think we're so smart, oh, we just got a good answer. You need more than a good answer. You need to have your faith in the power of God. Not hide out the power of God. Not be weird with it. Just keep in balance. Some extremes, people are just weird. No, they were weird before they met Jesus. The other extreme is people are afraid of the power of God. They don't want to talk about it. They might pray a prayer, but they don't believe it's going to happen because they don't believe in God's power for today. I'm telling you, there is a balance here. I am not ashamed of the power of God. Did you hear me? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believes. Unto the Jew first, and then to the Greek. We're going to be doing this series starting today called #IAmNotAshamed. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.